dead and gone, but I'm still alive. I thank you, Jesus. Amen? The key verse in Acts 1 is verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I want to speak from the subject, can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? To be a living testimony means you got something to say. It ain't no dead testimony. You, once you dead, you dead. Ain't nothing else you can say. Amen? Would you agree? This would indicate that your testimony is not living. This indicates a dead testimony. What I want you to understand is that Christ needs a witness. He don't need spectators. He don't need signifiers. He needs a witness, and he needs a witness in the hardest places there are. In other words, it's not about home. Amen. Let's look. Here in the book of Acts, Jesus is telling them, do not leave Jerusalem. Why is that so important? Jerusalem is the place where what happened? They crucified him. In Jerusalem, they don't like him. In Jerusalem, it ain't a safe place. When they grabbed him, his apostles split, went for cover. And here Jesus is saying, don't leave Jerusalem. He understands that when we think it's over, what do we want to do? We want to go back home. Home is safe. Home is secure. You know, they kind of like me at home. I can go and I can tell them about Jesus at home. That's not the assignment. That's not where Jesus was sending them, was it? He said, I need you to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the gift that's going to help you do everything you got to do. See, the one thing that I love and you got to understand about Jesus is that whatever he calls us to do, he will equip us. He knows about the furnace you about to go into. He know about the desert. He knows about the wilderness. He knows where the trouble is. Jesus don't have time for where it's safe.
Come on now.
But we like to hang where it's safe. We like to hang where folks don't need salvation. We want to go where you already know who Jesus is. See, the one thing that you got to understand that we are here because Christ placed us here. In other words, the majority of us, if we know who Jesus is, he brought us out of something. He brought us out of something to be a living testimony for those who are still stuck where you just left.
Come on now.
He said, now, I want you to stay here. In other words, if you stay where I put you, I'm going to endow you with the spirit to be able to handle the pressure to where you are. It's like being in a pressure cooker and it's all closed up and sealed up waiting to release its pressure. But when the pressure is released, it's released at one specific point and not all over the place. But that means there's enough power in there now to be able to shoot straight up as well as shoot straight down. There is a transfer of power. There's a connection of power. So I don't want you running and I don't want you going home. I need you to stay put because right here is where you're going to do your work. Yeah. See, folks come to church looking for church homes and looking for stuff to get involved in, looking for things to do. But if they don't have everything that they need or they want, that they looking for, then they'll say, well, this is a nice place, but I got to find some place that has everything that I need. Not understanding that God sends gifts to sanctuaries. And each gift that he sends has a work to do. So in other words, if you stay where God has placed you, then receive the power that he will give you to perform the ministry that needs to be done in a place that's lacking the ministry. But if we have a dead testimony, then we in essence do absolutely nothing. And when we've had enough of doing nothing, we go somewhere else to do absolutely nothing. Jesus gave them instruction to stay in Jerusalem. Don't go home, but stay here and wait for the power of the Spirit because you need the power to complete the task that's ahead. You were saved to serve, not to sit. The challenge becomes if every member of the body of Christ begins to live the testimony. Do you realize that you would have a pew that is full of the folks that you helped bring to Christ? If every saint of God was so interested in the great mission to go out and make disciples, there's not a church in this county or any other county that has a reason for why it's empty. Folks have the mentality that, well, my church is for me. I don't share Jesus. I don't want folk to know, and I want to be able to just worship where I am. In other words, I just want what I get to myself. Jesus said, "Don't leave Jerusalem. Stay here." In the hardest place for you to possibly stay, to stay to a place where folks will not hear you, don't want to hear you, don't care about you, and yet crucify me. So if they crucify me, that means Jesus, you're sending me into a snake pit. I want to go somewhere where it's nice. It's easy. Where folks is clapping and cheering and high-fiving one another and all of these good things and everybody's having fun, the choir singing, you know, the same old lady falling out in the spirit every Sunday. I want to go where I can engage in some of that stuff and I can see a show. If he asked them to stay in Jerusalem, let me help you out. That was not entertainment. There was no show. What was happening was real, real life, real problems, real situations needing what? Real solutions and real answers. In other words, if I'm talking to someone who needs a real answer, the show ain't going to get it, is it? The show don't last that long, do it? Every show I've been, I always had an end time, right? But when the Spirit comes in, he said, look, he said, when the Spirit comes, you're going to go to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Nowhere in there do I see you can go home. because your assignment is done. Well, you finished. Well, he said, but Lord, can I get close to the house?
Yeah.
No, because home is too many comforts and you get lazy. And I know because right here, Europe is home and we are lazy and we are comfortable where we are. So comfortable that we can't tell somebody about a risen Savior who died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. So therefore, I'm not going to tell nobody about how good God has been to me because maybe they don't want to hear it. But if you have the Spirit of God, you really can't contain that. And if I said everybody move up on this side and go to this side, it wouldn't have been able to be done. They'd have had to bring out seats and everything else because we were busy doing God's business. Everybody is doing Satan's job, but nobody's doing God's job. And we happy. We content with keeping Jesus to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right now we're in the month of June. Mm. If I said how many folks brought somebody to Christ this year, if you don't have one on your list, where's your testimony? If you haven't brought one person to Christ, if you haven't brought one person even close to thinking about Christ, if you haven't been one, you haven't brought one person to church with you this year, what's your assignment? What have you done since the year begun? Because Christ is evaluating us on everything that we do and everything that we say, because we say when we come here how much we love the Lord. We sing his praises. We shout hallelujah. We are engaged in everything. But now let me ask you this. If I ask you how many folks you done invited to cookouts, you invited out to eat dinner, you invited to come over to your house and play some cards or just hang out for a minute. If I ask you how many you invited to the movies or to a play or whatever the case may be, or just can we come out and sit on the patio and talk on the porch? If I ask you that, would the number outweigh what you've done for God? And then would the conversation have been about Christ or nonsense? Because you remember, anything that ain't about the kingdom is about death. If a conversation can't take you nowhere, then it's going to bury you. As Christians, our conversation has some relevance, should have some substance behind it. What are we doing? Why are we here? What's the purpose? Why did Christ die on the cross? He said, stay right here. And if you stay here, I'm going to give you the power of the Spirit that's going to help you go to the uttermost parts and to preach the gospel. To tell the dying world that Jesus has gotten up from the grave. He's no longer there. He's up. He's risen. It says for over 40 days, he walked with them and talked with them and gave them more proofs that I am very much real and I exist. You can touch the holes in my hands. I am the resurrected Christ. But he had to tell them, stay where you are. See, the thing is, everybody wants to dance in the promised land. But you can't dance in the promised land until you learn how to sing in the desert. You got to learn how to appreciate where you are. You got to learn how to do the work and the ministry right where you are. Everybody wants somebody else. Well, I'm sure they'll be. No, you have an assignment from God because you remember before Christ, you was dead. You was lost on our way to hell on a fast train. Nothing could save us. Nothing could rescue us. But Christ reached down in the depths, brought us up. And now that we have something special, we sit down on that. The Bible says that when you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit is imparted upon you. So in other words, when you accept him, his Spirit comes to reside with you. The problem is that it has no power in you. And it has no power because you have not given it any preeminence in your life. You have Christ, but Christ is in a corner, and that's where he stays. Spirit has the power, but you have none because you don't know who it is you serve. You don't have the relationship yet between you and the Lord. See, it ain't about me. It's not about what I say or what I do. It's about your relationship with Christ. That's what God is telling me. God is saying, tell my people that they need to get up and stop being lazy and start letting somebody know that I am alive and well, and I can take dead situations and turn them into some living situations. Somebody got to speak for me because I'm not here. So look, listen. When the apostles heard the order and they heard everything that Christ had said, you know what they said? They said, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I just told you to stay put in Jerusalem. And if you stay here, there's a power that's coming to you that's going to help you spread my gospel over the entire world. And you asking me, when is it over? In other words, church, we worried about the wrong thing. We trying to get to heaven and we ain't even walked the walk yet. You know, we trying to sing in glory and we ain't even spread his gospel yet. We are so concerned about the superficial stuff that we can't get to the reality of it, that my assignment is to preach the gospel, not worry about when he's coming back, but let the world know that he's coming back. We get caught up in the wrong stuff. We get caught up in feeling good. We get caught up in wanting to look special and wanting to sound great. We get caught up in who's the biggest preacher, who's the biggest deacon, who's the biggest leader, who looked the sharpest, who looked the baddest. We are so involved in stuff that has no relevance to life that we can't even get to the real thing because we got too much junk trailing us. He said, you worrying about the kingdom. He said, that's only for the Father. I don't even know that. So why are you worrying about that? Folks talking about the end of the world coming. So what? We know it's coming. I don't care when it's coming. I just need to be prepared for when it comes. So if we stop focusing on the incidentals of church, that don't look like that.
Come on now.
That don't look like that. If I was to walk in here and I see that, mine is, well, not that many folk in here really love the Lord. Because lovers of Christ will pack a place out. You know why? Because they want to share their faith. The Bible says from faith to faith. That's how we become stronger. That's how we engage. See, we like mess to mess. Because y'all know, you know, we full of mess. You know that, right?
I know that's right.
That's the Christian way of saying it, but we full of mess.
Come on, Reverend.
Yeah. If I walk through our, we walk through our homes, we see the mess that we full of. Even the mess don't have no room. Like, where are you going to put some more of this mess? It's already too much up in here now.
Come on,
you know, it's called constipation. I'm just trying to get you there because the reason why you ain't told nobody about Christ, because you full of mess. You faking this thing. It's not real to you yet. Because when it's real, Jeremiah said, you know, I got tired of dealing with folk because they want to listen to what I said. But he said, Lord, I'm not going to preach no more. I'm done because they not listening to me no how. He said, but then it just something just kept bubbling up inside of me. He said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. In other words, if you ain't bubbling to tell somebody about Jesus, you full of mess. Because how can you not tell somebody about a deliverance that you receive that you're able to share But yet you don't give to anybody else. The problem is that we don't want to be accountable for knowing God's words. We don't want to be accountable to this. See, we like to come up, sing praises, pray when it's time to pray, do those kind of things to show, Lord, it's a wonderful thing, and God has blessed me tremendously, and as I peruse through the scriptures, and I'm able to see how good God is, He is marvelous, His works are wonderful, and I'm marvelously made. Who have you told that other than somebody in church? Who have you shared Jesus with? Or are you worried about the wrong stuff? What they going to think if I let them know I know who Jesus is? You know, I don't always walk the way I'm supposed to walk. I don't always do what I'm supposed to do. So if I tell them that they need Jesus, they're going to look at me. I know you ain't talking about I need Jesus. Because if you got Jesus, we in trouble. See, in order to use the Spirit that God has blessed you with, you got to do some work. And you got to tell somebody. And that may mean you ain't going to be the popular one in town. You ain't going to be the popular one at job. You ain't going to be the one invited out to all the cookouts because, you know, my father got saved and our family reunions changed. My father always planned them. They had the beer, the liquor, everything else. Everybody was always there. My father got saved. The next family reunion, it was a drab. They say, what happened? Oh, Nat got saved. But one person effected change in the whole place because the Spirit of God that dwelt in him said, not this year. If we are claiming Christ, then shouldn't we act like Christ? Shouldn't we walk like Christ? Shouldn't we talk like Christ? Shouldn't we know who Christ is so that when times come up and we are put on the carpet, we can say, I don't know about y'all, but Jesus. That's my rock. That's my strength. That's my God. That's my comfort. See, it ain't about all the other things. God is saying, hey, look, I'm giving you what you need to go out and be a living testimony, not dead, so that when you come in those doors, you ought to have folks coming in here with you to say, yeah, I'm here because Sister Ferguson, she introduced me to Christ. I'm here because Brother Crawford introduced my family to Christ. I'm here because I was once lost, but now I'm found because Christ came into my life. Because one of your members said, hey, look, come see about a man. Come hear about a man. Come know about a man. Come learn about a man. Come understand about a man who can fix all your situations. But we just worried about when it's all going to be over.
Come on now.
And I can sing in glory and I can hear well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus gave them instructions to stay. Two, they was worried about the wrong thing. Three, make it plain.
Well,
ain't nothing complicated about the gospel. This is what happens. They were obedient, they stayed, and they were now focused. Once they were focused, this Bible says in the second chapter, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews. Man, we still in Jerusalem.
Wow.
From every nation under heaven.
Yeah.
When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans?
Well,
then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?
Yeah.
Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya and Assyria, visitors from Rome, both Jews converted to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue.
Yeah.
Make it plain.
Yeah.
This is the most segregated hour of church there is.
Wow.
Blacks have theirs. Whites have theirs. Browns have theirs. This said that every tongue, every nation, every racial makeup, every ethnic group all heard the word of God. So, if we're not evangelizing our home, but we evangelize in the whole world, then that means we speak to who? Everybody. Everybody needs to know who Jesus is. The Bible says that the Spirit came down and a tongue jumped on everybody. It didn't say an unknown tongue. It didn't say one that was uncommunicable. It said a known language to each and every person that was there represented. I can't speak Rome, but I'm sure they heard everything they needed in Italian.
Yeah.
Everything from Africa to Asia. Everybody heard what they needed to hear. But if I was an American and I was there, I would hear, get right, because the Lord is coming back. His name is Jesus, risen from the dead. I got a living testimony. I want to tell somebody about how good God is. And what the Bible says, that when they all heard this, they were amazed and they understood. So what you talk about or what you represent or what you give as a testimony, whatever you preach, make it plain. Make it simple. Make it understandable. Make it reachable. Make it teachable. Don't come with stuff that you don't even understand. I was at a sermon at the minister's conference. One of the preachers began to preach. I didn't know what he was talking about. It sounded good because he was a theologian. He was up there. He was a scholar. But everybody ain't scholarly.
Well,
you know, the Bible says that we heard it plain. We heard it simple.
Yeah.
Jesus spoke in parables.
Yeah.
In other words, you got to bring some of that stuff down to reach everybody.
Yeah.
We have an assignment from God.
Yeah.
We have a job to do
from
God. There is no excuse if we don't do the job. There is no excuse if what we say is not even understandable. You ain't got to sound highfalutin. You ain't got to sound classy. All you got to do is make it simple that Christ got up from the grave. He died for your sins and he died for my sins. The Bible says that when he left and he finally got, when he went up, the disciples were looking at him and the two angels came back with two men and said, "Why stand ye here gazing?" The same way you saw him coming up, he's going to be coming back. So you got some work to do because you don't know when he's coming back. Who knows when he's coming back? So when people tell me, "Rev, what's my assignment? What I got to do?" Just do what Jesus told you to do. Go out and tell somebody. Go out and lead folks to Christ. And then build a relationship with Christ. That means a commitment to you and God so that you can do whatever it is God would allow you to do.
Amen.
Stop trying to evangelize some safe place.
Amen.
And start letting everybody know.
Because
I got news for y'all. If you think that heaven is full of black folks, you're in trouble.
Come on now.
It's every nationality.
Amen.
Everybody under the sun. One of the preachers who preached us was a Hispanic. He preached his socks off. Because just because you're Hispanic and I'm African, and that's another point.
Come on, Reverend.
Do you realize
that
we all Africans?
Yeah. Come on, Reverend.
I had never even thought about it.
Yeah.
You know, because there's African American, there's European, but we all Africans.
Yeah.
We all come from the cradle of a civilization, which is Africa. So nobody is native to anywhere other than Africa. Everybody else, we're all transplants. So if anything, everybody can say, I'm African-European, I'm African-Mexican, I'm African-American, I'm African because Africa is where it all started from. Amen. And where it all started from is where it's going back to.
Amen.
All that you come in contact with, Amen. Let them know about Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't want a black church.
Amen.
I don't want a white church.
Amen.
I just want God's church.
And
God's church is everybody getting along, coming together,
Amen.
And worshiping the greatest Savior of all time.
Amen.
Is something wrong with that?
Amen.
One of the problems I have, is, and a lot of times I mess around, but I said the problem with me is that I'm too clean. I ain't done no dirt.
Well.
Folks like drama. Folks like mess. Their churches explode, you know, but I ain't sleeping with nobody other than my wife. I ain't out doing some dirt with some other pastors or preachers. So I said, well, Lord, maybe I just need some dirt. I need to go cut somebody or shake something up. Next thing I know, my folks be talking about, shoot, I don't know about you, but my red, he bad. He do all kind of dirt. Yeah, come on out. I'm telling you, you never know what's going to happen on Sunday morning. Somebody might stand up and say, Rev, I'm tired of you lying. You know this show, baby.
Yeah.
Folks want to see a story. They want to see drama. But I'm here to tell you, I don't have none. I'm too sold out for God to mess up.
Yeah.
And even when I get close to wanting to mess up, I realize what he's done for me. And I say, well, Lord, rebuke that thought that I might be more pleasing in your sight. Because I can't be really worried about that kind of stuff. But what I'm just trying to tell you is folks like drama. Folks like mess. If you ain't in it, if you ain't about it, they're like, well, you know, ain't nothing going to happen over there. Yeah, the preaching of the gospel is going to happen right here. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. I'm a pastor, not a pacifier. So I don't care what you think or what you say. I'm just going to give you what God gave me to give you. And I'm going to make it plain. I'm going to make sure you understand what God's word said. I may not hoop. I may not holler. I may not sound like the greatest theologian. I'm going to mess up some words along the way. I'm going to say one thing when I meant to say something else. I'm human. Sue me. I just know what God gave me. And what he's saying is, can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Somebody who's willing to stand up on my behalf. I'm not here no more. I already told you that I can give you the power that you need. Can I get a witness? If you can't tell the story that one day I had to march up Golgotha's hill, I wasn't carrying my cross. I was carrying your cross. If you can't tell that story, there's something wrong with you. And then when the point came when I should have got down from the cross, I just stayed there and let them nail me to the cross. I didn't die for me. I died for you. And you don't have a story to tell for me. You can't tell nobody about what I done for you. You can't tell them how you used to be lost, but now you found. You was blind, but now you see. I just need a witness to say that they stretched me high. Huh? I need somebody to say that I died until death died. I died until the old account got settled. But early on Sunday morning, I got up with all power. I got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I need a witness to tell my story. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Doors of the church are open this morning.